Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. And what we have here in Isaiah 32 is we have a refuge. A refuge. A true refuge. It says in verse 2, and a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place. In Isaiah 28, it says this, in verse 15, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, but we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. And down in verse 17, it says this, judgment also will I lay to the lion, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies. So you have a hiding place, two refuges, one of them's true and one of them's false. But sometime in a person's life, they'll need a refuge, a hiding place, a place of safety, a refuge that'll still and calm fears, a refuge that'll sometimes, that may even save your life. That happens in this world. A storm comes up, you hope you got a place to hide. Well, over there in Isaiah 28, it says there's a storm going to come. And they've got a refuge. But their refuge will be swept away. But in all people, sooner or later, they're going to need a refuge from pain. They're going to need a refuge from death. They're going to need a refuge from fear, a refuge from storms. And some in this world have made a refuge and prepared a refuge for whatever will befall them in this life. They buy insurance, have retirement plans, they get very involved in physical fitness, you know, make themselves last forever. They have the best doctors, and they build storm shelters, all kinds of things to make refuges for themselves. But the most important, the most necessary refuge or hiding place that a man needs is the one that most folks are least concerned about. And that's a hiding place from God, holy law, and His justice that demands punishment for sin and His wrath upon those who have no hiding place. Oh, we need a hiding place. The girl sung it, O Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Be of sin the double cure, save from its guilt, save from its power. And when my eyes strange close in death, and I pass through worlds and places unknown, and see thee on thy judgment throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Most don't even think about it. You know why they don't? Because they've already accepted Jesus. They've already walked an aisle. They've already made a decision. They've already been to an altar. They've already signed a card, already been baptized. But there's two hiding places brought before us here. The one is a true refuge. And that true refuge is a man.
Yes.
Behold, a man. There is a man. Ain't that what it says in I2? A man as shall be as a hiding place from the wind, a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Over in the other, there's a refuge, and they understand. And they say there, you know, they've made a covenant with death. Death ain't going to bother me. Death ain't going to bother me. We've made a covenant with hell. We're in agreement with hell. We've made our decision. We're all fixed up. Death ain't going to get me. Hell ain't going to bother me. I made a decision one day. I joined the Baptist church. And oh, listen, and when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it ain't going to come to us. When God's judgment comes, when God's righteousness comes, when God's wrath comes, when God's law comes to condemn us and show us, and we stand before the judgment throne, it ain't going to hurt us at all. We've made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Beloved, the one is a true refuge, and it's a man, and the other is a refuge of lies, and it's made in the imaginations of men. And the first refuge is a revelation of God. Only God can make you see this refuge. The second, that refuge of lies, in an invention of men. That's what they call it, a refuge. And all men feel their need of refuge of some kind at one time or another. But all men are not equally safe in their place of refuge. They're not equally safe. There's both these. There's refuge here in both places. One of them safe and secure. One of them are going to be swept away. God said, I'm going to lay righteousness to the plummet. And I'm going to send a sweeping well of water. I'm going to send a red sweeping, great swept. And they shall be swept out of those refuge of lies. And it's vitally important to us today. And I want to know for myself. I do not want to find out at the end that I was trusting the wrong thing. That I was hid in the wrong place. That I made lies my refuge. That I lied to my own heart. Lied to you. Lied on God. Lied to my conscience. Lied to my understanding. I want to know the truth. I want to know it. And all we need to see whether our refuge is true or whether our refuge is false. Now let's look here in Isaiah 28. Let's look at this refuge of lies, this false refuge. Ain't that what it says there in verse 15 and 16? It says, we have made a covenant with death. How do you make a covenant with death? And with hell we are in agreement. When the overflowing score shall pass through, it ain't going to come unto us. We've made lies our refuge, but oh, listen. God says in verse 17, judgment also I'll lay the line and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. Yeah. Overflow it, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing score shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down. Let me see if you've got a refuge of lies. Let me give you a few of these refuges of lies. This false refuge. You know what are one of the refuge of lies we hide in? First of all, it's a wrong opinion of ourselves. That's the first thing about it. We got a wrong opinion of ourselves. And what is a wrong opinion of ourselves? We're not sinners. We're righteous. We're good folks. We're moral folks. We're doing the best we can. And they have a wrong opinion of themselves. You keep Isaiah and look over in John chapter 9. I'll show you exactly what I'm talking about. John chapter 9. Here's some folks who had the wrong opinion of themselves. Like that Pharisee who went up to the temple to pray. Two men went up to pray. One was a Pharisee. The other was a publican. That Pharisee prayed thus with himself. John chapter 9. That Pharisee prayed thus with himself, and I thank you, Lord. I thank you, O Father. I'm not like, O God, I'm not like everybody else. I pray, I fast, I pay tithes of all of us. Twice in a week I fast. I don't commit adultery in this name. He was so good, and I'm not even like that publican over there. That's the thing that people have. They have a wrong opinion of themselves, and preachers give them a wrong opinion of themselves.
Yes, sir.
You're good people, you just need Jesus. Christ did not come to save good people. He came to call sinners to repentance. He came to seek and save what? The lost.
Yeah.
And look here in John 9:33. This is that blind man talking to the Pharisees and them. They came and they were really upset that Christ had opened this man's eyes. And they kept trying to figure out what happened. And this blind man told these Pharisees, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. If Christ were not of God, he could do nothing. It's not been heard since the beginning of the world that a man's born blind, his eyes has been opened. And watch what they said. They answered, said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins. Dost thou teach us? And cast him out. What they're saying is, you're the one that's the sinner, not us. You're born in sin. We wasn't born in sin. And that's that wrong opinion of ourselves. And they all start talking. They told the Lord one day, says, you know, there's a tower over there in Galilee, in Siloam, and it fell, and it killed 5 people. Said, boy, they must have been really wicked. And our Lord says, you know, you suppose they were sinners more than anybody else over in Galilee? And what about the blood that Pilate sprinkled with the blood of the sacrifice? He killed some people. He said, you think they were sinners above all everybody else down there? He said, I tell you, except you repent, you'll also likewise perish.
Yeah.
And oh, beloved, we'll certainly get, if we don't see our sins here, and don't see we're born in sins here, if we don't see what we are here, we'll certainly see what we are when we face judgment.
Amen.
Won't we? We'll certainly find out. We'll meet our sins at the judgment. We'll find out, you know, that we'll find out what we are there. That's the first thing, is a wrong opinion of ourselves. That's a refuge of life. And a wrong opinion in view of the love of God. This is really something here. You know, it's a wrong opinion, a wrong view of the love of God. If God is all one way, now you listen to me. If God is all one way in character, and only has one attribute, then He isn't God. But they make God to be one way. When you make God to be one way, and there's 2 ways they do it. First of all, they say, my God. And that's the first thing they say. My God is a God of love. God is a God of love. No, God is not a God of love. He is love. He loves righteousness. He loves holiness. He loves truth. Justice. He loves His law. He loves His Son.
Amen.
And next thing they say, oh, well, He's a God of love. Listen. I'm telling you something. God is a God of love, and this love is manifested in one place, and that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. He does not show His love to anybody outside of Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where at? In Christ. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Where's it at? In Christ. And oh, beloved, I'm telling you, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. And when they say, well, God is just, what they're saying is that God, because I'm such a good person and had such a good life, that ain't been perfect, but God being just, He's some way or another, He's going to let me get by. He could not treat me wrong. That's what they say when they mean, that's what they mean when they say that. But I tell you something, you know how just God is? He will by no means clear the guilty. He will not at all acquit the wicked. You know how just God is? That He respects no man's person. No man's person. I don't care what you've accomplished, where you've been, who you know, and what you don't know, and what position you hold in this world, how much power you got, how powerful you may be. You don't impress God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The cattle on the 1,000 hills is here, and all the gold in the mountains is here. What could you possibly give to God that God would want from us or anybody else? He made the world before you ever got there, before I ever got there. And oh, listen. And that's a wrong opinion of ourselves and a wrong opinion in view of the love of God. And oh, listen to this one. Here's a false refuge. Here's a refuge of lies. An old experience that stays old.
That's right.
Now what does that mean? That means that you're holding on to something. You're holding on to some profession that you made back then. You made it 15 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, when you was 14, 16, 18. And you're holding on to that. Holding on to an old experience. I don't know how many people I've talked to like that. A fellow told me one time he'd come here to talk to me and brought his Bible. He's going to show me all the things that I was wrong. And we sat and we talked, and he's telling me about his conversion experience. He says, I saw Jesus, and also saw this light, and this warm feeling came over me, and I said, well, which are you trusting? You trusting Christ, or that light and that warm feeling that come over you? He said, I'm trusting both of them. So that means he don't know a thing in the world about Christ. And he said he's way up in his years, and he's holding on to that experience. He's not trusting Christ right now. You see, people think, you know, repentance and faith is not an isolated experience. They think, well, I repented back there. I went to the altar back there. So that, because I had that experience, that means, therefore, that I'm saved. They say, I know I'm saved because I was there. Well, listen, I'm telling you something. If you ever repent, you never stop repenting. If you ever believe, you never stop believing. Now, everybody here that knows what I'm talking about, in your heart of hearts, you're constantly saying, oh, Lord, forgive me. Oh, Lord, I need you. Oh, God, help my unbelief. Oh, and I mean, it's a constant thing. It's not. We don't run back and say, well, I believe Christ back there. I believe Christ today. I don't have to run back to some time. Today is my day of salvation. And it's nearer now than when we believed. And a profession, beloved, and an experience that stays old, and you got to keep running back to it and running back to it to find assurance. That means you're trusting an experience. You're not trusting Christ. Do you look to Christ right now?
Yes.
Is your heart going out to Him now? You're repenting now. Huh? I'd say Paul the Apostle. Here's a fella. Yeah, he was a Pharisee. A Pharisee's had lots of experiences. But you know what? He counted everything he believed before he trusted Christ. You know what he said about it? Dumb. He offered sacrifices on Jewish altars. Went to the best school of his day. I'm telling you, he was somebody. Everybody said, boy, if that Saul of Tarsus is not saved, there ain't nobody saved. You ought to hear that man pray. Oh, he's got the broadest phylactery. He is something. And Paul, when he met Christ on the Damascus Road and God gave him his sight, you know what he says? I found everything before Christ apprehended me. Everything before I seen Christ and know Christ, and Christ made himself known to me. He said, I count that dung, garbage, nastiness, filthiness. That's what he's called it. Would you run back to garbage? And that's what you do when you're running back to an old spirit. You're going back to garbage. Paul went back and said, well, I'm going to pick up some of that garbage. And I trusted Christ. I want a little garbage to go with him. I want a little dung to go with him. That's my, you know, I'm trusting him now. I might ought to go back here and get me a little boy that dung, bring it along with me. Would you do that? Huh? Oh, people say, well, I knew the Lord once. If you ever know him, once is enough. If you don't know him, that's what people say. I knew the Lord once. Oh, what an awful thing to say. I knew the Lord once. I knew a man once. I knew the Lord once. Well, what happened? Do you forget him? Did he forget you? And oh, listen, let me tell you another refuge of lies. Not only a wrong opinion of yourself, a wrong view of the love of God, and an old experience that stays old, a profession of faith that doesn't produce the fruit of the Spirit. Huh? Look over here in Galatians 5. You keep Isaiah here. Look over with me in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. You know, a profession of faith that doesn't produce fruit and the fruit of the Spirit. You know, our Lord said a tree is known by its fruit. Fruit. And look what it says here in verse 22. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Oh, my. Who wouldn't want to be like that? You don't have to have a law to produce that. The law can't produce it. And a tree is known by its fruit. The Pharisees had doctrine, but they had no fruit. The Pharisees claimed to be holy, but they had no fruit. The Pharisees were super religionists, and they had ceremonies, but they didn't show any mercy. They didn't show any love. They didn't show any forgiveness. They didn't show any compassion. And let me tell you, you know what the difference between legal conviction and Holy Ghost conviction? Legal conviction makes you stop doing certain things. You put away certain sins. Legal conviction makes you want to start doing better. Changing the way you dress, changing the way you act, changing where you go. But Holy Ghost conviction gets your heart and makes you, God changed my heart. This outward ain't going to do it. I noticed last night in the airport, two places I was at. There are some folks there that the women had their bonnets on, their long dresses, and all their kids had their long dresses on. The men had their long sleeve shirts and their dark pants and all that, you know. But they're in an airport. And they still got to have all their religion. And there's them saying they had little bonnets on, they had their long dresses and all that. But here they got cell phones in their ears, flying on airplanes, sitting there texting on their telephones. But they want everybody to know that we're religious by the way we dress. We got our bonnets on, we got our long dresses on, we wouldn't dare wear a necktie. That'd be too worldly. That's legal conviction. But if God ever does something for their heart, they'll understand the bonnet won't cover your sinful mind. If God ever does something for your heart, the long dress won't cover your nakedness. Ain't that right? Oh, that's what I'm talking about, fruit. And where there's life, I'll tell you what, there'll be growth. It may be slow. And fruit may be just in the bud, but it's there. It's there. And let me tell you another. This is the most common refuge of lies. Tomorrow. Tomorrow. No telling how many of you in this building at one time or another said this. Maybe some here doing it now. Tomorrow. That's the most common refuge. Tomorrow. Next Sunday. That's the most common refuge. Felix, when Paul preached to him, he says, when he preached of righteousness, temperance, and judgment, Felix trembled. And he says, well, I'll call you again when I have a more convenient season. When things are more convenient, I'll call you back. But today is the day of salvation. Think not. So don't say, oh, go to now, you that's today. Say, today I'll do this. Today I'll do that. Today I'll go here. Today I'll go there. He says, you don't know what a day shall bring forth. Said, what is your life but just a vapor, a smoke that appears for a little time and vanishes away? Huh? What happens to this refuge over here in Isaiah? What happens to this refuge? What happens to it? Oh my. Look what God says here. In verse 17 of Isaiah 28. Judgment also will I lay to the lion and righteousness to the plummet. And oh my, when God lays that plummet line, you got to measure up to His plummet line. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lives. And the waters shall overflow the hiding place. And watch this, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled. Your agreement with hell, it ain't going to stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down. Down by. It's awful to think about, ain't it? Huh? And oh, thank God though there's thank God there's a true refuge. And it's not where, but it's who, over in Isaiah 32. It's not where, but it's who. There they had a place. Here we have a person. Oh my, thank God for the true refuge, the true hiding place. And we need a refuge. Look what it says there in verse 2. And a man should be as a hiding place from the wind. We need a refuge. You know, from the wind. What kind of wind? There's the winds of trials. There's the wind of false doctrine. And there's always a new wind blowing somewhere. The new wind that's coming, always new winds are coming up. And then there's the fierce wind of God's wrath as it comes blowing through. He says a overflowing storm. And when that winds of trials, that winds of false doctrine. I read a bulletin article this week that a preacher wrote, a preacher I know very well, and he neutered the gospel in that. He destroyed the gospel in that article. That's a they start going down a direction I don't want to go. Going in a direction I don't want to go. It's wind, and that's winds it blows. And it blows across your soul. It blows across your mind. It blows across your heart. And it's cold wind. You feel that cold wind. We need a refuge from this wind. And when God's wrath starts blowing across you, oh, we need a hiding place. And oh, beloved, and then there's we need a refuge from the tempest. And not only from the wind, but a covert from the tempest. You know what? We've had a tempest this morning. That wind just whipping and blowing, the rain blowing against you. And oh, that's a tempest. And it just comes and it blows in every direction. And you have these great winds and this great swirling rain and all this tempest and all just an uproar, just a horrible storm. Oh, we need a refuge from the tempest of this world. This world is a tempest. Oh my, it's tempest in every way. Economically, socially, politically. This world's in a tempest. It's just a world, I tell you. We sometimes think, oh God, if I can just not even think about it. Watch it. Don't want to hear any more about it. And then there's the tempest of public opinion. The tempest of the lust of the heart and the mind. The tempest of God's holiness and justice. We need a refuge from the tempest of Satan's temptation. And they would come and scatter us as a whirlwind if we didn't have a hiding place. And then not only that, look what it says. Oh, a man should be a hiding place from the wind, a covert from the tempest, and rivers of water in a dry place. We need a refuge from the dry place. Huh? What's dry? You ever feel like your soul's so dry? Like, you know, there ain't no life in it at all? Feels like it's a desert in you? And your eyes are dry. You know, you think, oh God, it's been so long since I've had a tear in my eye. My heart's so hard I can't even cry. Huh? Dry eyes, dead heart. The dry place of disappointments, the dry place of helplessness. Oh, we need a place. Huh? Oh, sometimes it gets so dry in some services. It gets so dry in our hearts. You feel like you're walking through dry leaves, you know, in the fall of the year. And you just sound like a big elephant running through them. You just hear just noise, noise, noise. But there's no life there. It's dead. It's dry. And oh, beloved, then we need a refuge in the weary land. And it says it be as a great shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Oh, weary, weary land. Weary land. You keep that. Let me show you something over here in Hebrews 12. Let's look at this together in Hebrews 12. You all get weary. I know you get weary. You get weary of your trials. You get weary of your life. You get weary of your loneliness. You get weary of your jobs. You just get weary of your flesh. You get weary of so many. You get weary of this world. Oh, I get so weary of this world. Get weary of having a fainting heart. No resting place. There's no resting place in this world. You're weary and there is no place to lay down and get over your weariness. But look what it says here in Hebrews 12 and verse 3. For consider Him. Think of Him that endures such contradiction of sinners against Himself. Whenever you get wearied and you feel like you can't go on, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind, you start thinking about Christ and what He endured. Weary. And oh, not only do we, there's the refuge of lies, and there's a true refuge. Look back over in Isaiah 32. We need a refuge from the wind, from the tempest, from a dry place, and from being in a weary land. And we have one. Look what it says. We have one. And a man.
Yes.
Shall be as what? A hiding place. We talked about that wind. We got a hiding place from that wind. And let me tell you, who is this man?
Yes.
God said, behold my fella. My fella. There is only one man between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. Pilate brought him out before he crucified him. He says, behold the man! And it says he took not on himself the nature of angels, but he took upon himself the seed of Abraham. Being found in fashion as what? A man. A man. This man is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something else about this man. It says in verse 1, he's a king. Our refuge, our hiding place is a king. He's a king. And what does a king do? He reigns right now. What's he reigning in? He's reigning in righteousness. Huh? Right now. And what does that mean? That means, beloved, that he reigns in righteousness. Everything he does for us, he does it in righteousness. Everything he's done for us, he's done it because of righteousness. He reigns over us in righteousness. And all he does is righteous. His scepter is a scepter of righteousness. And it says the government shall be upon his shoulder. And it says here, he is our hiding place from the wind. And I tell you one place that I want to be when God's fierce wrath comes through this world. And it's on this world now. It's obvious the wrath of God's on this world.
Amen.
It's obvious. I mean, you know, you'd have to be blind, deaf, and dumb not to know that the wrath of God and the judgment of God's not on this world right now. You know what happened? You know what God said? He says when the people don't seek Him and trust Him and look to Him, you know what He does? He said He puts the baser sort in power. Every time Israel forsook God, you know what He done? He gave them the sorriest priests there was and gave them the sorriest kings there was. You know what ever He done when they forsook Him? He let them say, get you some idols and set them up. Yeah. That's what God said. That's the judgment of God. And it's on us. Huh? And oh, when that fierce wrath of God comes and the judgment of God, the punishment of God, I've got a hiding place for it. When it starts, that wind starts blowing, it can't find me. It can't find me. We used to play hide and go seek, you know. We don't have to play hide and go seek. We are, God put us a place where, you know, where we're hid good. And all He says here, be a covert from the tempest. You know what a covert is? Covert means a secret place. A covert, you know, we have covert operations. That means it's out of sight. It's undercover. And we are undercover. We're hid. We're out of sight. Where are we hid at? You know the safest place to hide from God is in God.
Amen.
We're hid with Christ in God. Huh? We sing that old hymn, cover my defenseless head to be hid. You want to hide from God and His justice and His judgment and His wrath? Hide in Christ. Oh, it's a place of secrecy. You know why? It's a place of secrecy. The world don't know nothing about it. Those folks that had that refuge of life didn't know where it was. You know the only people who know where it's at? People said it. But this is the secret we want everybody to know. Huh? That God's wrath and law and justice, His righteousness can't find us here. This is a secret place from the world in religion. It's hid from the wise and prudent, our Lord said. And then He says, not only that, but He's rivers of water in a dry place. Rivers of water in a dry place. Look in Psalm 46 with me. Boy River, down there in the Yucatan, where I was at, they don't have any rivers. It's dry. They have water. They got the ocean and they got water just right below the ground, but they don't have any rivers. Hot and dry. And oh, when you go in a dry place and you come up on a river and you see all that green there and all that lushness and all that, you sit down by that river. Put your feet in that river. Splash that water upon yourself. Sometimes you may even jump in. It's dry all over the place. But here is this river. Here's this river. Look what it says in Psalm 46 and verse 4. There is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. The holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. There's a river flowing right out of the throne of God. John saw it. And here get that. That's what we have. And sit down by the river and rest and refresh yourself. And then it says here back over in Isaiah 32, in the shadow of a great rock and a weary land. Here's this great, great rock. Have you ever been out and been real, real hot and you look for a place to get in the shade? Oh boy, and find a shade and you say, boy, there ain't a shade. It's just so hot you can't find a shade nowhere. Well, when it gets really, really hot, and really dry and really miserable, brethren, God has provided us not just a rock, great rock. And in this, you know, he says, you know, we have this weary place we're in. When you get weary of yourself, weary of your trials, weary of your own heart, your coldness, weary of this world, weary of struggling, weary of your loneliness, sit down in this great rock and sit down under it and feel that shadow come over you. Let me give you this real quick. Look back over here in Isaiah 32. Look, and let me show you the blessings that we have from this man who is our hiding place. We have some great blessings from this. There's the false refuge and the true refuge. One's going to be swept away. The other one's secure. It's a man. And look what it says here. Here's the first thing about it. Blessings from our hiding place. And the verse 3, and the eyes of them that see shall not be dim. Oh my, we'll have dim eyes. Oh, I can't see. Christ opened your eyes, you see. Now they can see clear. What do they see clearly now? They seen that they're in a false refuge, and over here is the real one. I want out of this, I want in that one. Huh? They really see things as they are. You know, the only people who are realists in this world is God's people. They're realists. Everybody else living in a fantasy world. They're living in a fantasy world. And oh, their eyes can see clearly. They really see things as they are. They see the difference in the refuge of lies and the refuge of this man, this refuge of truth. They see themselves. They see Christ. And look what else it says. And the ears of them that hear shall hearken. Oh, he's going to give them ears to listen. Don't you hear me listening to us all the time? Did you just hear what I said? Are you listening to me? And I have to repeat back to her what she says if I'm in the other room. Yeah, you know, because she'll think I'm doing something else. You know, she ain't hear me. She said, did you hear what I just said? And I repeat it back to her. You think I ain't sharp, boy. I tell you. I know who butters my bread. But you know, you say that all the time. Don't you hear what I... Listen to me. Well, that's what God says. I give you ears and you hear now. My sheep hear my voice. Their ears are open. They hear the word. They hear the truth. They got distinguishing ears for the truth. If it was possible, the very elect would be deceived. But you know what? He said, if it were possible. That means it can't happen. And you know why? Because we have an ear and ear. We can hear. We hear the word of our master. And we obey Him. And not only that, but look what else it says. Their heart is taught. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge. And that word rash, you look in your margin, it says hasty. Used to be hasty. Gotta rush. But oh my, listen. The hasty heart shall understand knowledge. He'll quiet down. Running to and fro. He says, our Lord says, no man can come unto the me unless the Father which sent me draw him. And what next thing he says, and they shall all be taught of God. Huh? All thy children shall be taught of God. And he that hath been taught of the Father, what does he do? He learns of Christ and he comes unto me. And God teaches our heart. It's our heart that's taught. Ain't you grateful it's with the heart that man believes? My son, give me your heart. Out of the heart are the issues of life. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And Christ comes along and this refuge, our hearts get knowledge. Ain't that what it says? Shall understand knowledge. There was a time we didn't have a clue what was going on. And we wouldn't have a clue what's going on right now if it wasn't for Him teaching us. Is that not right? We wouldn't have a clue what's going on. Our heart's taught. And not only that, but look what else is taught here. And the tongue of the stammerer, you know, says, first they shall understand not. They understand that Christ is all in all. They understand the difference between the righteous and the wicked. And the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. You won't stammer around about the truth. You won't believe. Well, somebody asked you, well, what do you believe about election? You believe in God's sovereignty? No, we'll speak plainly.
Amen.
Don't you all believe that it's just Christ plus your good? No, we're not going to stammer over any of that stuff. No, we're going to speak as plain as we possibly. Paul says, you know, I speak plainly. Plain, you know, everybody says plain talk's easy to be understood. Well, that's why they wanted to kill Christ, because they understood what he was saying. But boy, the tongue is loosed. Ain't that what it says? The tongue of the stammerers. And that stammerer is a person whose tongue is loosed. They speak plainly. They tell the truth. We now tell the truth about God. God's not a God of our imagination. He is who He says He is. He's high and holy and He established eternity. He's sovereign. He does as He will, when He will, for whom He will. If God saved everybody in this building by His grace and left me to myself, I could not say that He wasn't just and wasn't right and He had the right to do it. He's God. And oh, listen, we tell the truth about Christ. Christ is all salvation. Christ is all salvation. His righteousness is the only righteousness that they are. His obedience is the only obedience we have. He's the only one who put away sin. We are perfected only in Him and Him alone. I don't need nothing. My faith didn't justify me. Christ justified me. My faith wasn't nailed to the cross. My sins were nailed to the cross. And beloved, what the gospel does is tells us what Christ has done. And then faith says, I believe that. It's a done deal.
Amen.
My sins was put away when Christ died. The gospel told me it was.
Yeah.
Is that not right? Christ sitting on the right hand of the Father for 2,000 years before I ever knew anything about Him. My faith didn't put Him there. God put Him there. But when somebody told me about Him and says, you know that God would justify me and did justify me in Christ, and He justly does so for those who have faith in Him, I look outside myself and I go to Christ. Right now. And oh my, we speak plainly about the way of salvation by a substitute. I love substitution. I love it. That means that when God's justice called me forward and says, you know, it's time to die for your sins. It's time for you to be punished for your sins. Judgment has come. It's time to face you on your judgment throne. And Christ stood up and says, I'll take his place. Put your judgment on me. Punish me. Give me his guilt. Give me his sin. Give me his disobedience. Give me the wrath that's due him. And Christ died, not for himself, but for those he represented. And if God took him in my place, he cannot possibly come back and get me. Can he? Is that not right? If God took Christ in my place, is there any danger in coming back and getting me? Could he do it? Would that be just? He got my substitute. And then we got his righteousness, we got his obedience, we got his life. Oh, absolute exchange, perfect exchange. Oh, And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, covered from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. His eyes, them old dim eyes that just you couldn't used to see, said, people say, I just don't see that preacher. I didn't see it either until he gave me eyes. I just don't understand that. The heart of the rash shall understand. I don't know how to tell it. He'll give you words. They'll speak plainly. Huh? And a man. Which refuge are you in? That one that's going to be swept away by the hail and the overflowing scourge that'll trod you down? Or that one that's the man? Which one are you in? Which one are you in? Our Father, in the blessed holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for allowing us to stand and speak of you again this side of eternity. Bless you for allowing us to preach the gospel again. God bless it to hearts, bless it to understandings. Lord, we know we tell the truth, but Lord, we can't apply the truth. I can't open a heart, I can't open a mind, I can't open an eye, I can't open an ear. But Lord, you can. And I pray that you will. In Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.